quiet until the time is right.
It'll be interesting to see if he takes that first step of being quiet. So Mike Lindell is currently doing a cyber symposium. Do you think that that is what is going to finally bring the truth out?
Without a doubt. I've watched it already the first 2 days, and so much truth is coming out. It's shocking and would give you chills if mainstream media would air this to the public.
Just forget about the evidence. If I'm right that China took our country right now, do you care? Would that bother you?
But you have to show the proof for it,
no,
right?
Would that bother you?
Of course it would.
Okay, then why do you think I keep going? Do you think I like getting attacked?
Lindell ultimately didn't produce the data to prove his claim the election was stolen by China.
I think the guy makes a wonderful pillow, but I wish some of this information would have been organized a little better.
Lindell invited the media and cyber experts to the symposium to vet his claims. We went along and brought Harry Hursty, a world-renowned cyber and voting machines expert.
Were you given any data at all from the 2020 election? Anything useful, anything that would show any sort of fraud?
We were not given any kind of raw data which we would even be able to ask to start to look in that.
But if your stuff is legit, if the data is legit, wouldn't it be better for you to hand it over to as many cyber experts as possible?
You know why? I'll give you the answer. Because I've been told that they can go out there and corrupt it and make fake stuff and put fake news out. So I don't need your people to go out and doctor the evidence and put out on Mike Lindell's a conspiracy theory.
But you have been saying for months, media, experts, everybody, no, come see the data.
We're showing it right on screen right now. So you can't sit here and do a hit piece when it's on screen right now.
To your knowledge, was anything on those screens proof of Lindell's claims that the election had been stolen?
Based on everything we found, that is meaningless. There was nothing there you can compare to draw any conclusions.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a computer guy. I don't know what most of this stuff means, but I've been researching this election since November 3rd. But the CNNs of the world, you guys need to start reporting this and stop fact-checking it.
Sorry, but the mainstream media is trying really hard to be respectful of how they cover mental health emergencies.
I wanted to cover the question that you were asking the other contestants, which is the question I really want to hear, which is, why do you think Donald Trump is going to be president? And the answer is, I have created something called a Trump card.
Yeah, let's get into this, because you created a 7-point plan, right?
Exactly. It's a 7-point constitutional cure. Mm-hmm. For election racketeering in the Electoral College. So it's specifically to the presidential election. And the thinking came about for the name based on the game of bridge. Because if you have the winning card in bridge, it's called the Trump card. And in this case, it's guaranteed to clear all signatures of Biden and Harris. It's the closest thing to a living miracle I can even describe. It's like a video that's going to put the teeth into the Trump card.
Can't wait to see that video. I'm a huge film buff. I've always wanted to see Ava DuVernay's take on Spaceballs.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Now, Holly, I want to go to you. If Trump is reinstated, you'll have a lot of Biden supporters who say, look, Biden got more votes than Trump. Trump supporters are stealing the election. How do you respond to that sort of hardline conspiratorial mindset?
First off, that's not the way it is. As it stands, Trump is still in office. We have a dual presidency right now. He never conceded. If you go back to, what is it, the 1871, all having to do with the Rothschilds and being a corporation, the corporation is dissolved. If you knew that Washington, D.C. is not a part of the United States, that London is not a part of the United States, that the Vatican is not a part of the United States, back in 1871, we needed money. And that's when all of these Rothschilds down the line took over our country when it came to the money and the taxation and the whole bit.
Jewish cabal seems like a tough sell to Biden voters.
When somebody plays the Trump card.
This again?
When you expose the Achilles heel, and I have a video, I'm going to give you the name of it real quickly just so we can have, because it's so new, how Cubans can checkmate America's radical regime. It's going to reveal Nancy's got a Jonestown problem. And it's race-based.
Okay.
Down the Democrat Party.
Holy f***. Let me stop you so you don't get canceled. But let's role-play something here. Oh, Holly, I'll pause when you do that.
Pulled it all apart.
Moving on. I voted for Biden, and everyone I know did too, so he must have won. How do you convince me that there are people I don't know personally who might have voted that day also?
You could live in a bubble. I know people in Arizona in certain counties out there, they vote almost 100%. for Biden. Well, I should say the people I hung out with out there. But, however, I would tell them you need to leave your little bubble and do a little more traveling.
I want to do kind of another show of hands here. Show of hands, have you donated to President Trump's fight to stop the steal?
I did a little bit, yeah.
If you're comfortable saying, Tim, how much did you donate and what do you think he's using the money for?
Well, I live in a fixed income because I'm retired. $10, you know. If I could have done more, believe me, I would have.
Why would Trump need money when he has more than enough cash to fund his Mike Pence beheading operation?
Because it doesn't compare to Soros. Hello?
Okay.
It doesn't compare to the Rothschilds that don't want to lose their wealth. All want to fund all of this so they can rule the world. It's called the one world order.
Holly, just say Jew. It's faster.
Like Tim, I would have wanted to give anything I could, but we all have bills.
Prices are up.
Exactly. And, you know, we want to help the cause, but at the same time, we just can't give that much.
Okay. Hypothetical scenario that's already happened several times. Trump's reinstatement gets delayed again. At what point do these delays start to get suspicious?
If it doesn't happen, then we got 2024 to look forward to.
We won't even have 2024. If it's not handled in 2021, it's over. We're already communists.
If we have to walk around
the world having a card to say if we're vaccinated, our freedom is gone.
Okay, so basically it's 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year, you're a communist. Now, again, this is another show of hands, but please only respond if you are comfortable. Show of hands, who here has gotten the vaccine? Barbara, if you are comfortable, how come?
Well, I wasn't gonna get it, and I don't have a very good immune system. I just said, you know what, I'm gonna get it just in case, because my mom was in a nursing home at the time. And thanks to Cuomo, he mandated positive people into her nursing home. And every week I was getting a phone call saying that 1, 2, 3, and 4 people were dying. And I just, wanted to do it for my own protection, maybe to help someone else, more for my country. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe it would help, to just stop wearing a mask, stop locking us down, stop trying to turn us into a socialist communist country. Mm-hmm. So that's why I did it.
Okay. My thoughts go out to your mother. Holly, let's imagine you just heard someone on a Zoom call say they got vaccinated to protect themselves and their elderly mother. Would that make you want to get the vaccine to protect yourself and further protect that hypothetical person you just heard from?
No, you know why? First off, I wasn't ever raised with drugs. It was always hot lemon juice that you would drink with honey. Apple cider vinegar. These are all basics that, because my mom was like a Christian Science and never believed in drugs, I always practiced that. Okay. And that's the first thing I do. And also, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he gives me protection over all of this. I have a weakened immune system. And you know what? I'm on planes. I'm out amongst people, and it's okay. Did I get sick a year ago, November? I had the worst cold I've ever had. And I made it through that. And I'm going, man, if that was COVID, it was back then. And it repeated again last November. And I can't even believe some of my Christian friends went along with it.
Yeah.
Because they're not firm in their faith.
Okay.
And it's like, praise God that he protects me.
Or she.
My fellow bar crawl trolley lickers, I know you rely on me to deliver breaking news to you, but this time, it's the news that's breaking me. On this anointed day wherein our blessed Lord and Savior Donald Cleveland Indians Trump was to be restored to his rightful place as President Immortalis of the United States, nothing happened. As we speak, Biden's army of soulless, silent deuces haunt the White House halls, reversing President Trump's most awesomely misspelled executive orders and erasing his legacy of only announcing legislation that triggers a spontaneous nationwide candlelight vigil. But even worse, it's like everything I was told about the reinstatement by the guy my dad used to hire to sue all his girlfriends was a lie.
Tyler, where are you? Tyler, come back.
I'm not prepared to live in a world where the thought police demand I believe that the things right in front of my eyes are real. I wish I'd never believed in Donald Trump at all.
Stop, Tyler. It's me, Rush Limbaugh, your guardian angel.
But where are your wings?
I sold them for pills. You got your wish. You never believed in Donald Trump.
Wait, I can hear out of my left ear. That's the ear that I stuffed a Donald Trump figurine into so that he could live in my head full time.
You're not the co-host of Hot Take. You're the co-host of Beta News with Joy Reid and Tyler Tiny Dick Templeton. You never missed your daughter's high school graduation to throw an Adidas bag over Gretchen Whitmer's head. You never met your wife while getting frog marched out of the Yankees' box seats. You even got vaccinated.
No! No! I want to go back! Get me back to my co-hosts! Help me, Rush, please! I want to be unvaccinated again! I want to be unvaccinated again! Wait! I have COVID? I have COVID! I'm unvaccinated! Merry reinstatement! Yay! Hello, Washington, D.C. Merry reinstatement, Comet Ping Pong! Merry reinstatement, water supply spiked with chemicals that make me have homoerotic thoughts! Merry reinstatement, you wonderful old Holocaust museum! Smartwood! Kylie! Tori! You're not Joy Reid! It's a reinstatement miracle! I'm so happy! Blessed day! Joy to the world!
Teacher says whenever a conservative accidentally discharges their firearm into their thigh, Donald Trump is reinstated.
They taught you that at school? Sick! Merry reinstatement, everyone! Except Joe Biden! F*** you!
Merry reinstatement, everyone!
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Welcome to the phone-in. Today we have on our panel our resident psychiatrist, a psychiatrist who isn't resident but is staying with the other one because he can't bear to go home, and a psychiatrist who has lived with the first one but who, when the second one arrived, felt alienated and since has undergone a total personality change. Our subject tonight is farming, and our first caller is from Reading.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to phone-in. What's your question to the panel?
You're through now.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello there, this is phone-in. What is your question?
Is Vic there?
Is Vic there? Is Vic there, Dr. Rogers?
Well, the problem here is a simple one. The caller wants to know if Vic is there. And in this case, Vic, as far as I can tell...
Can't you be here, Alan?
Yes, of course.
I agree with what Rogers was going to say. As far as we can tell, Vic isn't here. The only thing she can do is to keep calling, and if Vic comes in, we'll let her know.
Does that answer your question?
Hello?
Hello?
Vic?
Yeah?
Good evening, sir. Welcome to phone in. What's your question?
It's Norman.
Hello, Norman. Welcome to the show. What's your question on farming?
Has he been round again?
Has he been round again? Professor Rogers.
Well, I...
Oh, no.
Professor Dibbs?
But he's been...
I think we've proved that Vic isn't here.
I'll bloody kill him.
And therefore, he couldn't have come round again. It's a fairly simple case of non-presence.
Thank you, Norman. I hope that answers your question.
I'll go round there and kill him. Is he down the pub?
I'm sorry, Norman. Only one question per caller. And now we move on to our next caller, please, on farming.
Hello. My name is Mummy Badger.
Get on with the question.
Yes, I farm over 4,000 acres, and I'd like to know the panel's attitude to the viability of cereal production in the EEC.
I'm sorry, we only want questions about farming. Next caller, please.
Hello.
Hello, it's Mr. Gannett from Dorchester, isn't it?
Dead.
Oh, dear.
But he left me his question in his will.
Oh, dear. Well, how sad, but let's hear the question.
Unfortunately, one of the conditions of the will is that I myself should not reveal the question.
Oh, dear. Well, can someone else reveal it?
Yes, he left provision.
I'm sorry, we're running out of time.
Yes, he left provision in the will that his wife should be able to reveal the question in certain circumstances.
Is she there?
Yes.
Well, perhaps she could read the question on farming, please.
Well, she's here, but she's not very well.
Well, is she well enough to read the question?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, is there anyone there who can read the late Mr. Gannett's question?
Only if the executors of the will were to agree on a revocation of the clause by applying for a codicil.
Well, I'm afraid we must leave that question there.
It could be rushed through in about 2 months.
Well, I'm afraid, I'm sorry, that's all we've got time for.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
I give you my affection.
number you have reached has been disconnected.
Oh, Tommy Rowe on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. This is Patsy Cline.
Oh, stop the world and let me on. you see. Will tumble to the ground. One I love has let me down. I lost the wonder of his kiss. How could he leave me here like this? Oh, stop the world and let me on. This burning up inside, I know his love for me has died. I lost the wonder of his kiss. How could he leave me here like this?
Hello, I'm Pamela Badilla of Jata Jata International Folkloric Theater, and you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook, so many towns and villages and cities in Columbia and Greene County. This is listener-supported hands-on radio.
The Cara Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Cara, New York, for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Cara Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Cara Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Cara history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Cara Historical Society at carohistsociety@yahoo.com.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Richard Goldstein of Lafayette Hill, Pennsylvania. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime.
Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
The police killing of Elijah McClain and his mother's pursuit of justice. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Please, I can't breathe. Please.
I can't breathe in the boat.
These words were recorded by the body cameras of Aurora, Colorado police as they assaulted a slight 23-year-old African-American man who was on the short walk home from his corner store after buying iced tea. It was 10:43 p.m. on August 24, 2019. Aurora dispatchers had received a 911 call, quote, describing a suspicious black male wearing a ski mask, acting weird, unquote. An officer approached McClain saying, stop, I have a right to stop you since you're being suspicious, he said.
Stop, I have a right to stop you because you're being suspicious.
Within 10 seconds, officers tackle Elijah to the ground. My name is Elijah McClain. I'm an introvert and I'm different. He was sobbing. I'm just different, that's all, he said.
My name is Elijah McClain.
Yeah, bro. I'm going to use karate.
That's what I was doing. I was just going home. I'm an introvert and I'm different.
I heard some snoring.
I just don't like going home. I'm just different.
Elijah continued, why were you attacking me? I don't do guns. I don't even kill flies. I don't eat meat. I'm a vegetarian. I don't judge people for anything. I respect all life, he said.
Why were you attacking me? I don't do guns. I don't even kill flies. I don't eat meat. I'm not a vegetarian. I don't judge people for anything.
The violent arrests continued with two successive carotid chokeholds and an armbar hammerlock that caused pain and injury to Elijah's shoulder. Emergency medical technicians arrived, and after misdiagnosing McClain with excited delirium, injected him with a massive overdose of the sedative ketamine. Elijah cried out, I can't sense myself. Ow, ah, ow, stop, please. I'm trying. Please help me.
Ow. I can't sense myself. Ow. Stop, please.
Well, stop fighting us.
I'm trying.
We put him out. They were able to get him out of handcuffs. We're still struggling with him. I have fire on scene. And that's where we're at.
Those words were the last ever uttered by Elijah McClain. Within 18 minutes of being targeted and tackled by police, Elijah McClain, the young massage therapist and talented violinist, handcuffed and brutalized, aspirating his own vomit, suffered a cardiac arrest. After a delayed resuscitation that left him brain dead, Elijah spent several days in the hospital unconscious on life support. He died August 30th, 2019. Just over 2 years later, long after officials in Aurora pronounced no wrongdoing by the police and paramedics, a grand jury convened by now Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser handed down a 32-count indictment. Three police officers, Randy Redema, Nathan Woodyard, and Jason Rosenblatt, and two paramedics, Jeremy Cooper and Peter Kachuniak, were charged Wednesday with manslaughter, negligent homicide, and related assaults. Rosenblatt was fired last year for replying, ha-ha, to a photo of other Aurora officers mockingly reenacting the chokehold used on Elijah McClain. The other four were suspended without pay after the charges were announced this week.
I'm thankful. I'm grateful that they saw what I saw.
That's Shanine McClain, Elijah's mother, speaking to a Denver reporter.
He never should have been stopped, that he never should have been brutalized. He never should have been handcuffed, and he never should have been given ketamine.
The police killing of Elijah McClain gained national attention during the mass protests that erupted after George Floyd was murdered by Minneapolis police Memorial Day 2020, 9 months after Elijah's death. Mass marches shut down highways in Aurora, where protesters were rammed by a car and shot at. In one of the most moving images to emerge from the global protests during the summer of 2020, a violin vigil was held outside the Aurora Municipal Center honoring Elijah McClain's memory with classical music. Elijah loved music and played violin for stray cats at a local animal shelter. Aurora riot police attacked the vigil. The McClain family's commitment to justice for Elijah, propelled by the sustained mass protests, created the environment that led Colorado Governor Jared Polis to issue an executive order empowering the state attorney general to investigate. Wednesday's indictment was the result. Over the past two legislative sessions, State Representative Leslie Herod pushed three sweeping police accountability bills, which Governor Polis signed into law.
It was Shanine's voice and her work that led to Colorado passing the largest and most impactful police accountability law in the country.
Herod was speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. These laws, Herod said,
called ketamine a use of force by law enforcement that ensured that we could have special investigations when someone dies at the hand of or at the direction of law enforcement. We banned chokeholds and we ended qualified immunity.
State Representative Herod explained how she learned of Elijah's death during a protest in June 2020 that followed George Floyd's murder.
This, you know, small, quiet woman stepped up from the crowd. I handed her the megaphone. And she looked at me and looked at the crowd and said, why weren't you here for my son? Why are you here for someone who died states away? But when I called you for support, people of Colorado, for support for my son, no one showed up. And it was interesting because, you know, the crowd kind of turned to me and the MC, like, do you want us to take the microphone back? And I said, no, I want to have this conversation. You know, I asked who her son was when she said Elijah McClain. I knew, right, that her voice needed to be centered in this conversation and that people needed to know who Elijah was. And so from that moment on, we worked lockstep to pass police accountability.
It's not just that movements make a difference. They make all the difference. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the holiday weekend. Well, on Saturday, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 75 degrees. It will be partly cloudy Saturday night with a temperature low of around 56 degrees. On Sunday, there's a chance of showers mainly after 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 73 degrees. And Sunday night, a chance of showers mainly before 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And on Labor Day, there will be a chance of showers after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 75 degrees. And Monday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m. It will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening.
Today I'm doing a roundup of a few of my favorite regional farmers markets. First of all, why do we love farmers markets? There's so many reasons. From enjoying peak freshness to the overall ambiance, it's always a treat to stroll through a market, seeing the beautiful colors of tomatoes right off the vine, or taking the fragrance of just harvested herbs. And it's certainly one of the best ways to support family farmers and local makers. Now that large agribusiness dominates food production in the United States, small family farms have a hard time competing in the food marketplace. Buying directly from farmers gives them a better return for their produce and gives them a fighting chance in today's globalized economy. The food that you buy at the farmers market is seasonal, of course. It's fresh, it's delicious, it reflects the truest flavors. Shopping and cooking from the farmers markets helps you to reconnect with the cycles of nature in our area. As you look forward to asparagus in spring, savor sweet corn in summer, or bake pumpkins in autumn, you reconnect with the earth, the weather, and the turning of the year. Taste real flavors. The fruits and vegetables you buy at farmers markets are the freshest and the tastiest available. There's no denying that. Fruits are allowed to ripen fully in the field and are brought directly to you. No long-distance shipping, no gassing to simulate the ripening process, no sitting for weeks in storage. This food is as real as it gets, fresh from the farm. Farmers markets also protect the environment. Think about it. Food in the United States travels an average of 1,500 miles to get to your plate. All this shipping uses large amounts of natural resources, especially fossil fuels, and that contributes to pollution, creates more trash with all the extra packaging. Conventional agriculture also uses many more resources than sustainable agriculture, and it pollutes the water, the air, and the land with toxic agricultural byproduct. Food at the farmers markets is transported much, much shorter distances and is generally grown using methods that minimize the impact on the earth. At the farmers market, you know where your food comes from. Meeting and talking to farmers and food artisans is a great opportunity to learn more about how and where the food is produced. You can also learn cooking tips, recipes, and meal ideas. Those at the farmers markets are often passionate cooks with plenty of free advice about how to cook the foods that they're selling. And what I like the most about the farmers market, it's a way to connect with your community. Wouldn't you rather stroll amidst outdoor stalls on a sunny day than roll your cart around a grocery store with artificial lights and piped-in music? Going to the farmers market makes shopping a pleasure rather than a chore. The farmers market is a true community hub, a place to meet up with your friends, bring your kids, sometimes dogs are allowed too, or just get a taste of small town life. I like what food writer Michael Pollan says when he refers to local markets as the new public squares of community health. So here's a few of my recommendations and markets I've been going to for many years. Okay. Starting in Ulster County. The Saugerties Farmers Market celebrates its 20th year this year and can be found on Main Street on Saturdays. Its longtime mission has always been to preserve small farms and promote healthy living. And it also hosts live musical performers and many fun children's activities. One of my recommendations at this market is Green Earth Farm, coming from Palinville. And she is always stocked with loads of vegetables, flowers, mushrooms, honey, maple, and more. And since the market is right in the heart of the village, it's nice to take some extra time to stroll around and visit all the indie shops and bookstores, and of course, get a few scoops of alleyway ice cream. Okay, heading over to Greene County. The Coxsackie Farmers Market takes place on Wednesdays in one of the area's most stunning locations. It's in Riverside Park, right on the Hudson River. And you can find C&B Kitchen and Limekiln Farm here. Both have been guests on this show. This farmer's market also showcases musical guests, and they also often have a special guest food truck on site. This is a really fun one. Now, crossing the river over in Columbia County is the Hudson Farmers Market, now in its 24th year and the county's largest market. It takes place on Saturdays, outside in the summer and inside during the winter. And this one features a real array of options, from baked goods, fruits and vegetables, flowers, eggs, meat, seafood, spirits, and brews. And in addition to their main vendors, they almost always have a special guest vendor, like someone making organic, eco-friendly body care products, someone making kombucha, someone making handcrafted jewelry or handcrafted rugs. And they've also had weaving workshops courtesy of the Shaker Museum. Okay, up in Rensselaer County, the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market is in downtown Troy, and it's just like it sounds. It's right on the waterfront. This definitely has something for everyone, and it's a great way to spend a Saturday. One highlight here is that the market offers composting. They make composting easy. Collect your food scraps in a bag or container during the week and bring them to the community compost drop-off right outside their entrance. At the end of each market day, the food scraps are collected by Troy Zero Waste and transformed into high-quality compost. Troy Zero Waste is an all-volunteer organization that works to promote composting and recycling efforts in and around Troy. So why do we compost? When food waste ends up in landfills, it emits methane, a greenhouse gas 26 times more potent than carbon dioxide. When composted instead, it adds nutrients and stability to the soil, encouraging plant growth and water retention. What can I compost, you're wondering? Well, you can compost food scraps, fruits and vegetables, meat and bones, non-liquid dairy, such as cheese, grain products such as bread, and loose coffee and tea grounds. Further north in Saratoga County, the Saratoga Farmers Market is on Sundays and Wednesdays at High Rock Park in the summer and then moves indoors in the winter. This market started in a small parking lot on a rainy day in 1978, and since then has not only survived but grown and prospered. What I like about this one is that they are a local producer only market, which means their standards requires that their vendors have to grow or produce their goods in Saratoga, Schenectady, Rensselaer, and Washington County, thus ensuring that products are fresh and unique. And also in this way, the sales provide economic, ecological, and social support to those local communities. And I know that farmers markets aren't anything new to those of us who are living here. We're totally spoiled with the bounty of the Hudson Valley. And I know there's so many more that I haven't mentioned today, and so many more that I need to visit. What I like about going to new ones, besides seeing the range of talented and hardworking farmers and all that they have to offer, as it's often a good excuse to explore a new town or village. And if you can't make it to certain farmers markets, I do recommend checking out their websites, where many of them also have newsletters. So if you sign up for those, it's a very simple way to get lots of information right into your inbox. And often there's a lot of good recipes. Farmers markets are good for the senses, good for your health, good for the community, good for your heart and soul. And I like what Alice Waters said. If you buy from people who are taking care of the land, you're supporting the future of this country. See you at the farmers market.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. You're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
This is Diana Abadie, a citizen scientist. I investigate industrial proposals and facilities that process trash. Yes, garbage, municipal solid waste, construction and demolition debris, and hazardous waste. There's a lot of money to be made in trash. Today I'm here in beautiful Grand Gorge, New York, in historic Catskills. I'm speaking with local residents Sakura Akiyama and Ian Webster. We will be discussing the Hughes Energy proposal. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ian, can you please explain what a solid waste processing plant is, and how does this Hughes proposal differ than the typical processing plant?
A normal processing plant, as I know it, is a place where your municipal garbage is taken to, and it's a transfer station, and oftentimes will be turned into compost or sent along to other facilities like landfills. This proposal has been brought to us as a processing facility, but it is in fact a factory where they'll be taking municipal waste and turning it into pelletized products that will be meant to be burned or turned into composite materials.
Okay, that really is a big difference. It's certainly unique for this area. And Sakura, where exactly does Hughes plan to site this plant?
Yeah, so it's actually pretty interesting. They are technically going to be building this industrial factory in Grand Gorge, which is the hamlet of Roxbury, but it is right on the border of Prattsville. So we're really right on the border of Delaware County and Greene County. The issue with where it's being proposed to be built is that it's, you know, just 1,000 feet or, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 feet away from New York City drinking water reservoir. It is being built on, or being proposed to be built on, federal wetlands. It's also a protected bald eagle site. It's really just not a place where you would imagine an industrial factory to be built. I think, Ian, you know, we're both in Grand Gorge. You can kind of speak to the location as well.
Yeah, I think their location makes sense to them because it straddles two jurisdictions. It's Delaware County, it's Greene County. They will be paying taxes to Delaware County, but they'll be using the sewage system of Prattsville, which is in Greene County. So it sets off these two communities against each other about, you know, the Delaware County will be getting quite a bit of tax money, but Greene County will be getting quite a bit of traffic.
Exactly. And I think another thing that's just important to note about the location is just the infrastructure that's in place here in the Catskills, right? So if you're familiar with this area, we just don't have the infrastructure to handle this much truck traffic. We don't.
Yeah, I think that we're on winding mountain roads. They're two-lane roads that mainly go down the river valleys, and that means they're in erosion zones almost constantly. We're getting more and more rain every year. We're way above normal for rain this year, and that erodes the foundations of roads. I know several spots just outside of Prattsville that are currently under construction because the water has undercut the roads, and that's just the way water works. That's not going to stop.
And speaking about just the rain, a quick comment, you know, 10 years ago, Hurricane Irene really devastated this community, and really, you know, a lot of people were affected. The town was just completely destroyed. It's a precarious location to be placing something of this magnitude when historically there have been issues, you know, in the community affected by the weather. You know, what happens when this facility is hit by another hurricane?
There was an article in the news last week about Roxbury's come back. Prattsville's coming back,
yep,
from Irene. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's really important. When I read the proposal, I noted that Hughes had estimated a 50-mile radius around this site. So that municipal solid waste could be brought in from 50 miles. What towns are we talking about? What routes?
Yeah, the routes that they're talking about are basically coming up through from Kingston off 87. They'll be coming up through Phoenicia. They'll be turning right on 42 and coming down through the small town of Lexington, which is a very tiny town with a very tiny bridge, also with a bridge system that was affected during the flooding from last Christmas. That route was closed for about 3 months while they repaired a bridge. They'll be taking a left through the town of Lexington, which is, again, just a blip on the map and all a very beautiful place right on the Schoharie Creek. And then they'll be coming through Prattsville. So this is a lot of that's the southern route. Another route is coming up from the northeast through Windham. Another's from the southeast through Hunter. They'll be coming through the northwest from places like Cooperstown through Roxbury. The Roxbury proper, they'll be coming through the main village of Roxbury, which is, as you mentioned, having a renaissance right now. There are several new businesses open and tourism is absolutely booming. There's a lot of people coming up and relocating there because it is a gorgeous, gorgeous place to live.
Thank you. So how much waste are we talking about?
Well, by their estimation, it's 565 tons per day.
And how many trucks are they talking about?
So this is where it gets a little funny. They tell us in public one number, and then in their permitting to the Department of Environmental Conservation, which is the regulatory committee that's going to be looking at this, they give another number. So to us, they've been saying 3 trucks per hour. Mm-hmm. And this is 3 semi-trucks per hour, capable of carrying 40 tons. Those trucks, of course, those are 3 trucks coming in. Those trucks also have to leave. So that's actually 6 trucks per hour by their estimation they're giving to the public. But in their permitting process, they have a significantly higher number. It may be a number as high as 10. That's 10 going in. So that's 10 coming out again, too. So that might be 20 semi-trucks per hour on roads